Okay, first quarter wrap-up financial markets roundup. And again, we're using this for equity overview for this quarter as well. Great quote from Dave Ramsey. Financial peace isn't the acquisition of stuff. It's learning to live on less than you make so you can give money back and have money to invest. You can't win until you do this. Great advice, although I don't necessarily mean that you need to invest it in the financial markets. And I have to tell you, it was one of the least attractive places this quarter. The first quarter was very choppy. The Federal Reserve really had expectations that the U.S. economy was somehow going to pull out of a recession, if not lead the global economy out. And in fact, after a tiny bump in interest rates at the end of 2015, it got its head handed to us, or we got our heads handed to us. And you saw a real correction in the equity markets, concern that China and the emerging markets were going to be struggling with their dollar-denominated debt, and whether it was the emerging markets worried about expensive dollars while commodities were crashing, or U.S. corporations worrying about what a strong dollar is going to do to earnings. It was a very fractious period. We got our 15% correction. We're still overdue for the 25% correction, but there was something about it this time that felt really ugly, and it was combined with the sense of real leadership challenges and issues that you saw in Europe and the U.S. and a terrible deterioration in trust in the system as a result of all the dirty tricks and covert stuff that's been going on to centralize the economy. And at this point, I think the divergence between the official reality and reality is becoming unbearable, and it's too far to go in terms of affirming trust in any of the systems, including the financial system. So with that in mind, it was an unpleasant quarter, especially for investors who've taken big downs, whether in the 2007-2009 period or big downs in precious metals. So again, a real intolerance for trusting the system. The U.S. dollar index has softened and come down a fair amount, and that's good news for a lot of the dollar-denominated debt borrowers and corporations who have to consolidate global earnings back into the U.S. So come down. I'm still not convinced that we won't get a much stronger dollar. Could go either way, and that's our problem with a lot of these markets. It could go either way. U.S. markets corrected deeply down to 15% and then worked their way back up to basically flat for the period. If you look at sectors, there's a fair amount of divergence from the performance of utilities or real estate where investors were seeking yield to financial services that really got clocked, including the concerns about the lending to commodity producers, whether those countries or the oil and gas producers in the developed world, particularly North America. Healthcare has been leading for 3 years. It didn't lead in the first quarter, particularly biotech got very clocked, and some of the healthcare sectors really lagged. If you look at motif investing, sometimes motif investing can be very depressing to look at. For the 12-month period ended at March 31st, the top performers were online gaming world, high yield dividends, and democratic donors. So escapism, junk securities, and people who buy political clout did well. The home builders outperformed the markets last year as the primaries got underway, but prices backed off with the market, and they ended just a tad below the general market, so close to flat for the year. Real estate, with investors seeking yield, did better. Oil just got even worse. Can you imagine? It started to rally a little bit, but it ended up the quarter down. The oil ETN ended up down 17%. Very ugly, but nothing as ugly as the coal producers, who are basically being driven out of business by U.S. policy. And so we're basically seeing the top coal producers go under. And it's a very ugly picture, particularly because it's very much government dictated, not market dictated. Coal's doing gangbusters, continues to do gangbusters in Asia. what we've seen is real projections, and BP came out and said the North America will be energy self-sufficient within 5 years, and tremendous skyrocketing growth in gas continues. But the big surprise is renewables really growing gangbusters. We didn't see that reflected in the solar ETF, however, but clearly the long term for renewables is looking much brighter. Russia equities performed very, very well despite the continued squeeze on crude oil and sanctions, and the U.S. working hard to keep Russia from selling $3 billion into the Western capital markets and bonds. Russia has a very low leverage ratio, and so that has helped them in this period. But they began to close the divergence between the markets. They really got clocked in the last 2 years. Germany, the German markets continue to underperform the U.S. markets. They're obviously struggling, among other things, with the meltdown of Deutsche Bank and real concern about the Deutsche Bank positions. China, big concern in the global economy in terms of slowdown of China. China's struggling with rising food prices, falling equity prices. Their equity markets came back from the correction, which were down almost 20%, U.S. down almost 15%, and they were still down the large caps by 4% at the end of the quarter. India recovering further along the way, but again, also correcting with the rest of the markets. The star performer in equities was emerging markets, up 6% at the end of the quarter. The developed markets didn't do as well. They underperformed the U.S. market, down a little bit more than 2.5%, and frontier markets lagged as well. The big surprise, fixed income. Who would have thought? I was ready to leave the fixed income markets forever, and reminds me of that scene in The Godfather 3 when Michael Corleone says, just when you think that you're out, they drag you back in. Treasury bonds and long treasury bonds outperformed at the end of the quarter. The TLT, the long treasury ETF, was up 8.32%, the intermediate up 4.51%, the corporate bond aggregate up to a little bit more than 2.5%, and the junk market ended up flat along with the S&P, and junk was way down at the worst. So pretty scary ride for junk, and I still don't understand why it's back as much unless people are just not thinking clearly as they seek yield. Gold and silver have been the star performers, even ahead of fixed income. I don't think of them as star because it's such a small market. Gold up almost 16%, silver up 11%. Silver's backed off a little bit since then. My big concern is the same thing is happening to us that happened in 2015. We're going to get a head fake and end up the year down as we did last year. A lot of the precious metals folks are much more bullish. They think the bottom's in. I just think, particularly if we go to negative interest rates more in Europe and Japan than we've seen, let alone in North America, I just think all bets are off, and you could see everything be weak. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen because this is really uncharted waters. But my concern is that everything's going to be weak. Now, if government tries to go cashless and negative interest rates and really tries to play games with savers, then for liquidity, it's going to be a rush to gold and silver. So that could change it. But the key to me is the Asian buying. And if you see significant slowdowns this year or next in Asia, that's going to clock that market. So I'm still hesitant. And as I've said, until gold clears 1340 and proves that it's cleared, I'm a skeptic. The commodities index, you thought you were, just when you thought we were finally going to get some relief, it got worse. There are a few commodities that are doing better. I live in a cotton farming community, and again, we just don't look that much better. So, lumber, hogs, and soybeans got a break, but cotton is still still feeling the pain here. And then the shipping index just keeps getting worse. And clearly, if you look at the Baltic Dry Index, it really does say that there's more global slowing ahead. I think if you look past the charts, what we're seeing is, even though the correction prices came back by the end of the first quarter, I would say the spirits and confidence of investors didn't come back. I think investors are looking at the fundamentals and saying, we're going to have to face the liabilities in Global 2.0. We want to see a plan to deal with them. We need a way of going at leadership that doesn't result in the kind of ridiculousness we're seeing in the U.S. Presidential campaigns. And finally, this divergence between official reality and reality has gotten too painful to bear, which is why in the Solari report we're so convinced that we have to bring transparency and close the divergence between insiders and outsiders, and that's really what's driving the inequality. So I just think investors are looking at what's going on and very uncomfortable with the fundamentals behind this market. It's not surprising that the big flows have been into venture capital, looking at the new technology and saying, okay, whatever's going on, productivity is flatlined. We have to do something to radically improve productivity. Now, the challenge with that is you can radically improve productivity in certain sectors of the economy. It's going to make it worse for other sectors as automation puts more and more people out of work or subjects them to radical change. So you can get economic productivity, but significantly worsen your human productivity. And that's part of what we're seeing. It's why Gordon White said in the Chaos Protocols, he said, on one hand, you've got communities literally falling apart economically. On the other side, on the other side of town, you have teenage billionaires. pretty astute comment on the divergence in the situation. So I would say we go into the second quarter with a lot of discomfort in the investment community and people looking at the fundamentals and saying, where is it going to go? We're in the middle of earnings season, and there's a lot of reason to be skeptical and unhappy about where earnings are going to be. Particularly because if you listen to what we said in news trends and stories about corporate earnings, particularly in the United States, if you look at the extraordinary and I would say even illegal or secret ways of producing earnings on corporations, you are seeing a corporate establishment in some respect held up by what I call the negative return on investment economy, which is the more money that certain corporations make, the more the economy shrinks. So you're having a negative impact on the pie by juicing earnings into them in ways that have nothing to do with healthy markets or better performance or better productivity. And I think that's part of where the anger is coming in on the election. And let's hope more of that gets discussed during the campaign. So we go into the second quarter with bonds doing very well, precious metals doing well for now, question mark, can it last? And the equity markets feeling insecure, but with emerging markets doing the best. Again, if you look at what's happening with the leverage in the emerging markets and the prices of commodities, it's not clear to me that that will last, although clearly the U.S. and developed markets have moved way ahead and there's a divergence that at some point we would certainly expect to close. So it's a tricky market. It's a treacherous market. It's a hunt and peck market. And as I described in cash management, it's a market where people are much more concerned about their return of their principal than their return on their principal. So ladies and gentlemen, that's it for Financial Markets Roundup for the first quarter wrap-up. As always, I wish you good hunting, and please remember, don't ask whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.